What's good, everybody? Pastor Jason Santoni here, Art Bible Church. Hey, a couple announcements just really quick. Wednesday night's women's Bible study right here at Art Bible Church at 6 p.m. Also, we've got NA on Friday nights here at 7 o'clock. And next Sunday, and I'm really stoked about this one too, is we will be back into the house of the Lord next Sunday at 10 a.m. So if you're in Newport, come by and check us out. We've taken a couple weeks off to get the house of the Lord back together. We've had some roofing issues, and then we had painting stuff we had to take care of, and then we're getting ready for Christmas. But we're no way shutting the doors. We're getting ready to open them up. So we just want to thank you guys for all your prayers and helping us out as we go along. Also, too, if maybe the Lord's been laying it on your heart and you want to partner with us financially, the Lord knows we can use it. And it's simple, it's safe, and it's convenient. All you have to do is text any amount that the Lord lays on your heart, $1, $5, $10, $1 million, to 84321. 84321. That's what I use. My family uses it, and it's safe and secure and very convenient. And God knows we're going to use every bit of it. And we thank you for those who have contributed, and not only financially, but with your time and your prayers. So keep that up. You guys keep praying for us, lifting us up, partnering with us. God's doing great things, and it's good to be a part of it. So, hey, we're going to be getting into the Gospel of Luke this morning, Luke chapter 12, or whenever this message finds you. And as you guys know, we go through the Bible book by book, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. That's the way we do it here. And also, too, we've been going through the Gospel of Luke for the last year, but if you go to arcbiblechurch.com, all of our messages are archived there, whether it was going through the book of Revelation or the book of James or the book of Mark or 1 Corinthians or John. It just goes on and on and on, and you can go and check out all those messages. I love teaching through the Word of God. There's no other place to be. There's no other place to go except for God's Word. And I do find that wherever we are in Scripture, there we are in life. So we don't need to move around. We just need to get right here grounded in God's Word. So hey, if you got your Bibles, let's jam on over to the Gospel of Luke. You got Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're going to be in chapter 12 this morning. And let's pray before we get into the Word. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to study your Scriptures. And I pray, Lord, that we don't just look at your Word like practical principles, but that we look past that and see your heart. That we look past it, Lord, and see your will for our lives and how we can have a deeper, stronger relationship with you, Lord. As you said that to the religious leaders, you search the Scriptures because in them you think there is life, but they all point to me. And Lord, that needs to be our focus, is you. We love you, Lord. Open up our eyes and ears to hear and see in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Last week in Luke chapter 12, verse 13, Jesus was talking about this issue of coveting, and we kind of we saw a picture of what the point that the Lord was making about it. There was a man who came to Jesus, and he asked him that he would settle between him and his brother their inheritance. Their father had passed away, and there was obviously a will, and everything was willed to this one brother, and the one brother didn't like that, and so he's asking Jesus to get in the middle of it. And we all know, and most of us have experienced that sometimes when someone passes away in our family, that's unfortunately a time where people don't get together and support each other, but sometimes they separate and attack each other. Why? Because of stuff, because of things. And this one particular man wanted Jesus to get in the middle of him and his brother and decide who should get what, but Jesus wouldn't go there. Instead, he warns the guy about coveting. And I'm sure his disciples are overhearing, and the people around him are listening in as well. And it goes into this story that Jesus gives about a man who had everything that he wanted. He, you know, the stocks were up. He did good in business. He had probably a good education, made some wise decisions financially. And anything and everything he ever wanted, he had. And Jesus gave a warning about it, about what's really important in life. In fact, he calls this, the parable is actually called the parable of the rich fool. And this guy was so caught up in making a good living, he missed out on having a great life. And we can sometimes find ourselves in that same situation where we're clawing and scratching for more and, bigger. This guy's wanting to build bigger barns and store up more goods for himself, but yet he didn't have what was most important, and that was life. That was a relationship. That was a relationship with God. This guy was all about himself. In fact, in verse 18, in just a couple of verses, this guy uses the I word like five or six times. He's all about himself. He says, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones, and I will store up my surplus and grain, and I will say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. This guy was very presumptuous, wasn't he? Hey, you've got stuff laid up for years to come. The 401 is doing good. The investments have made money. The only thing you need to do is store it up, hoard it up, and you're going to be good to go for a long time. But you know what Jesus said to him? He says, you fool, you don't even know in the story that your life is required of you tonight. You know, and I was thinking about Steve Jobs. This guy, we all know that he had as much money as anybody could have money. He had access to the best doctors, the best treatment, the best facilities, the best life, you name it. But death still came. And no doubt that for a lot of people, death comes unexpectedly. And what the man in the story didn't understand was that even though he had all these, he was rich in this earth, he was broke before God. And we really want to make sure that we're not rich in this world and we're broke towards God. That's so important. This guy didn't even realize who had blessed his blessings, right? And I think sometimes we can go to another extreme where we're looking at making money, taking care of bills, taking care of a retirement, and saying, oh, that's bad too. That's not bad. I mean, Proverbs says we should be wise with our money. We should save our money. We should be diligent with our hands. So making money, being blessed, and those things aren't wrong. The problem with this guy was he had an excess in his life, and he didn't think about how to steward God's money faithfully, right? It was God who gave him everything, even though he looked at his own hand like it's my hand that provided everything. It was actually God who provided everything for him. And what he should have been doing is thinking about how to steward God's money a little bit better than just focusing all on himself. And so now Jesus talks to his disciples in verse 22 about this issue of worry. Now, the reason why I think worry comes after this parable about this guy not stewarding his money faithfully for the kingdom of God and focusing all on himself and being selfish and he's coveting, he just wants more and he just wants to build bigger barns and all of that, is because anytime we talk about money and how to deal with it scripturally, I think sometimes the natural transition is into worry. We talk about money, and then the next thing you know, we go into worry because money has a lot to do with our lives, right? And so what Jesus does is he uses this opportunity to talk to his disciples about worry, about what they're going to, how they're going to make it, how they're going to pay the rent, how they're going to take care of their clothing, what are they going to do next week. It says in verse 22, then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body on what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. And consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than the birds? And who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? And since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Now, when we look at this story, church, we got to remember, these are disciples. These are friends of Jesus. They love Jesus. They're walking with Jesus. They're hanging out with Jesus. They're listening to Jesus. They're being taught by Jesus. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But yet, Jesus knows that even though they're walking with him, listening to him, hanging out with them, that they also have a tendency sometimes to worry. You know, we're like that too, right? I mean, we love the Lord. Most of us watching this video or checking into this teaching, we didn't just stumble on it. And if you did, hey, God's got a word for you and listen up. But for others of us, you know, we love the Lord. We want to have connection with the Lord, right? But at the same time in our life, we can get caught up in worry. We can get bogged down in fear and anxieties with the what ifs about all kinds of different things. You know, some of us, if you were to look in the dictionary under the word worry, there's your picture, right? It's like right there, or Google it, anxiety, and boom, I pop up, right? It's so easy, especially in 2020, with everything that has happened this year, to freak out, to have anxiety, and to worry. And really what's gonna happen for the next remainder of this chapter, it's really dealing a lot with how we handle anxiety, so anxiety doesn't handle us, because it's a harsh handler. We all know that. We worry a lot about things that haven't even happened yet, or what could happen, or what might happen. And it goes on and on and on. And Jesus, what's important to him is that his disciples don't live a life of worry, but they're living a life of faith. You know, for somebody listening right now, you need to understand, if you're in that place of fear, God's plan for your life is not to go another moment in fear and in anxiety and in worry, where you don't know what you're going to do, how you're going to make it. Your stomach's in knots. You can't sleep at night. You're tossing and turning. Your train of thought is all over the place. You're scattered. And it all has to do with this issue of being rooted in fear. And God's plan for your life, for my life, is that we don't live in fear, but that we walk by faith. You know, I tell my kids, fear's a lot like a rocking chair. Back and forth, and you go nowhere. And some of us could say amen to that. How many of us have just gone back and forth, and we're never none the better? And so God, what he wants to do is he's going to show them how to handle that anxiety and fear in a right way. Because raise your hand if you know that you've taken fear and anxiety and you've handled it the wrong way. You've taken it and you've tried to numb it, you've tried to hide it, you've tried to deny it. But no matter what we do, unless we deal with fear and anxiety properly, and we bring it to the Lord and do what he says, you know what? It never goes away. It's always going to be there. But it doesn't have to be. And so this is what Jesus says in verse 27 about how to handle it. He says, "Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and it's gone tomorrow, and it's thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or what you will drink, or worry about it." And in verse 30, he says, "For the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." You know, when you think about Israel, for a long time, I always thought of Israel as like this desert, dry, Sahara wasteland of a place. I don't know why, I just pictured this Sahara desert. But when you maybe go on YouTube, or you've been blessed to go to Israel, you look around, there's tons of green, huge hills with flowers all over the place. And it's like The Sound of Music, right? That old school movie, The Sound of Music, where that woman's just spinning around out there in the field of daisies. It's beautiful like that. There's hills all over the place, and it's a very green and lush place. And so what God is saying to his disciples is that, listen, I know that you guys are worried and there's some things going on in your life about provision and what you're going to do. But I want you to understand that if God, this is what Jesus is telling his disciples, if God takes care of the landscape, he's going to take care of your life. And that's something about we need to remember too. We live in a beautiful state. This is the coast of Oregon. And we've got our hills covered in trees everywhere. There's so much greenery here. This is like heaven on earth almost. I love our state. I really do. I don't care about some of the people that are running it, but I do love the state of Oregon nonetheless, and it's beautiful. And when I look out over the hills and when I look out over the valleys and the coastline of our state, and I think about provision and what God's doing, you know, God's got everything in control. He clothes the landscape. How much more so is he going to take care of our life? You know, and that's small stuff to the Lord. We're made in his image. We're the greatest of God's creation. And what Jesus says is, look around. When you're getting worried, when you're getting anxious and you don't know what you're going to do, just look around you and understand that I'm a provider. And if we look at our life, we can, you know, we may not have everything that we want, but we have everything that we need. And that God is faithful, and we can step out on his word and believe and trust and already see a pattern in our life where God has provided for us more than anybody could ever provide for us. And he says, listen, I do that because I'm a provider. And just look out around you and you'll see it. And for some of us, that's really hard for us to hear right now because you're in a situation where you feel like you're not getting provided for. You're in a place in 2020 where it's been like a dumpster fire of a year where it just seems to go from bad to worse. And you're in that place and you do feel lonely. You know, we just got done with Thanksgiving, and I had so many conversations with people that I love and I'm friends with that are all over the United States, and they were talking about how lonely they were and how much anxiety they were having because of the uncertainty of this virus and our political situation and all of these things and just not knowing how stuff was going to pan out. And I was able to share this encouragement with them that God's a provider. And he sees us. You remember last week, Jesus said that not only he sees us, but he sees the most detailed part of every situation in our life to where every follicle of hair has a number to it. And so we can trust and we can just look around to see, is God still sustaining creation? Yes, and he's still going to sustain you. And you know what? I remember an old saying, I can't remember where I heard it from, but if we're not dead, God is not done. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for us as a church, and we can trust him in that provision. And so in verse 32, Jesus tells them how to stop the stress and the worry. He says in verse 32, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. So sell your possessions and give to the poor and provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where neither thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So he's saying, don't be stressed out, but seek out the kingdom of God. This is so cool because a lot of the time when we get stressed out, we seek out the kingdom of earth for ourselves, right? Because we want to feel better right away. We go to seeking out pleasure, entertainment, you know, goods, all these things, shopping sprees, whatever. And it doesn't ever sustain us. It doesn't ever fulfill us like seeking out the kingdom of God can sustain and fulfill us. And that's what I think a lot of their problem was back then. They were always looking to other things to fill that gap in their life, that hole in their life. But they were always still empty. It was like they were drinking from wells that were dry. And so what Jesus does is he says, listen, if you've got an anxious heart, if you've got an anxious mind, perhaps it's because you're not seeking the right things. We need to be seeking the kingdom of God, where our treasure can never rot, never be ripped off from us, never be taken from us. He says, sell what you have and give to the poor. That doesn't mean that we're to go out and have nothing or anything like that. But what it does mean is that we're not to be solely focused on ourselves when there's so many other people around us that we can bless and that we can reach out to and that we can be a help to. And he's going to talk about that here with our lamps burning in a second. But we need to be seeking out the kingdom of God instead of the kingdom of this world, because it's never going to sustain us and it's never going to fill those gaps where we're lacking. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now that's interesting, because if you're anxious and if you're worried and you're upset, you know, wherever you're putting your treasure, that's where your heart is. That's where your focus is. That's where your life is. And so one of the things about when I was reading that is I was thinking about where our heart is, our treasure will be, right? But no, Jesus says where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And I think one way of kind of looking at it is like if I was to give you $1 million, but you had to take that $1 million, every last cent of it, like you were going to be empty by taking that $1 million and putting it and investing it into a company, and that's how you had to spend your money, and whatever that company made for you, that's what you got, and that was it. That's the only way you could make money with this $1 million. But you were going to be broke for a little bit because you were putting every bit of that $1 million into stock, into an investment, maybe Apple, maybe Walmart, Amazon, whatever. But my question to you is if I was to do that, and don't count on it because you know I'm not going to give you $1 million, but if someone was to give me or you $1 million and they said, here, it's based upon these conditions that you invest it, would you be checking if, and you can only invest in one company, if that company was, say, Amazon, and you invested every penny in Amazon, would you be checking the stocks for Walmart? Would you be checking the stocks for Google? Would you be checking the stocks of Starbucks? No. You know what you'd be doing? You would be checking the stocks of Amazon. Why? Because everything that you have is in Amazon. That's where your thoughts are going to be. That's where your life is going to be. Everything is based on Amazon because you've got everything invested in it. And in the same way, you know, when the stocks are going up on Amazon, you're just like, man, this is great. I'm cashing in. What a blessing. This is wonderful. What Jesus is saying is that invest into the kingdom of God and you'll have peace in your life. Invest in the kingdom of God and you'll have strength in your life. Invest in the kingdom of God, and you're not going to go around in this kingdom and in this world freaking out, wondering what you're going to do, looking to buy a new house in a new state, trying to look for a different job because you can't stand the one that you're in, looking for a different spouse, whatever the case may be, because your mind is going to be kingdom focused. Why? Because that's where your investment is. Now, how do you invest in that place to where you can have that kind of peace? And Jesus was telling us, he's saying, give to the poor, right? In other words, look at the people around you who are not as blessed as you're blessed, and don't be so self-focused that you can't be focused on what's going on around you. And that's really good advice, that whenever we're feeling down in the dumps, we're feeling busted, bankrupt, broke, I think a lot of the time is if we're honest, maybe we've been really self-centered and we've been focused on our life in this kingdom instead of thinking about the poor, instead of blessing people around us. It doesn't always have to be financially. It could just be with your time. You know, it could just be a phone call, a text. It could be, helping somebody in need in some way. But the idea of it is to seek the kingdom of God and invest in the kingdom of God. And what did Jesus say? Whenever you do to the least of these, you've done it unto me. And that's what we need to be mindful about. And so I just want to close out with this morning. What are some ways that you and I can invest in the kingdom of God. Because we know worry doesn't work. Worry, anxiety, freaking out on our life here just doesn't work. And so what I want us to do, and I think what Jesus is telling us to do, is to be others first focused. That's investing in the kingdom of God. And church, right now, I understand in this time when we're going through all these things that we're seeing on the news and that we're dealing with in our state and in our country and all of it, that there's a tendency to want to just kind of go into denial or run from it and not deal with it. And some of the ways that we run from it and not deal with it and go in denial, not have to worry about worrying, is, you know, we go into self-medication, or we seek pleasure. We look to bless ourselves instead of other people because we feel like we're in a hole. We want to feel better, right? We don't want to be worried anymore. We don't want to think about it anymore. We're tired of dealing with it. And this is what Jesus says. Others first. Seek how you can invest in the kingdom of God. Why? Because where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Do you want to have a heart of peace? You know, because if we don't listen to what the Lord's saying, we're going to be miserable. We're going to be upset. We're going to be fearful. We're not going to have rest. We're not going to have peace. We're always going to be looking to other things to fill a hole that can only be filled by the Lord. But when we put others first, there's an old saying, joy, Jesus, others, you. And as we're going into this Christmas season, how can we play that out in our life? And you know what? As we step in and we invest in the kingdom of God, there's no way anything in this kingdom is going to steal our joy, our peace, or our strength. Just like Jesus said, where moth can not go in and there would be no rot or thief that could destroy our blessings in the Lord. God bless you guys. Let me pray for you this morning. And I pray that you pray for me too. And our church, and that we can seek to put others first and invest in the kingdom of God in that way, that we can have peace in our life, just as the Lord said. Father, we love you, and we just thank you for the opportunity to get into your word and have our eyes open to maybe some of the things in our life that we're dealing with right now, the anxiety, the uneasiness, the worry. What if, Lord, we took what your word said and just applied it to our life, where we stored up riches in heaven, where we were kingdom seeking instead of earthly seeking. Lord, what if we stepped outside of our box on how we can bless ourselves and how we can make ourselves feel better, but we put our eyes on how we could bless somebody else. Lord, unfortunately, Lord, there's so many hurting people in this world today, God. And you've put the church here you've blessed us to be a blessing. And no matter what we're going through, Father, no matter the difficulties we face, you've given us a promise that our joy, our treasure, our hope, our security is all in you. And Lord, I pray that just hearing this message, that we would be convicted, Lord, to step out on that and to have faith in you. That, Lord, we don't have to store up riches for ourselves, but we can be open-handed and bless those around us, God. Thank you for being good to us. I pray for whoever's listening to this message this morning who's dealing with fear and anxiety and uncertainty. Lord, that your peace would come into their life right now as they make a commitment to get their eyes on you and off of themselves. God, just that they would say, hey, today's a day where I'm going to start investing my time, my talents, my treasure, and the kingdom of God, and be kingdom focused instead of earthly focused, and to watch and to experience a flood of your peace come into their life. I pray for that person, Lord. I pray for my family, God, the families of our church and this community, Lord, that we would seek your kingdom first, and all these other things, Lord, you will provide for us. We love you, Jesus. In your name, and the church said, amen. God bless you guys. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday, Ark Bible Church, 10 a.m. Post it on your Facebook, share, like, get the word out, and we'll see you next week. God bless you guys.